All right.
Log Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm back. Had a little bit of technical difficulty. Don't know what it is, but we are going to start on my phone. So, the last of the stories. So we're going to talk about the death of Homer J. Harrison. He was a young man who served in France during World War I as a U.S. Army cannoneer. And when he got out of the military, he joined the troopers in Batavia in 1921. And he would eventually become the commander of the Cass Isle area in Wyoming County. And he was well-liked from what I can hear and what I can find out. He really didn't have any other enemies, but you've got to figure this is, at the time of his death, 1933, there was a lot of things into play. There was the finishing of Prohibition. There was the Great Depression. There was organized crime. And just because he was out in the middle of nowhere in Cass Isle in Wyoming County doesn't mean that he didn't have any enemies or people weren't watching him. And I am going to tell you that I think his death was an inside job. Definitely an inside job. So the weird circumstances in Sergeant Harrison's death was late in the afternoon, Harrison took his two sons, Robert and Roger, along with Trooper H.W. Beach fishing in a small rowboat on Seneca Lake, right off of Freehoff's boat livery. Now, Seneca Lake isn't very deep at all. It actually is one of the, Silver Lake is not very deep. It's actually one of the most shallow of the lakes. It's in the Finger Lakes region, but it's not considered a Finger Lake. Okay. We're trying to work out some technical I'm going to put the link back up here. I'm pretty sure it was a inside job, and we're going to get to that. I'm going to put this on my Facebook. So putting the link on Facebook just now for the new show. Anybody that's following for the technical difficulties. So anyway, Silver Lake is one of the most shallow lakes in the Finger Lakes region. In fact, even though it's one of the 11 lakes in the Finger Lakes, it is not considered a Finger Lake. So about 800 feet from shore, they let the anchor out. And when they're ready to put their lines in the water, they discover that they had left the tackle box on the shore. So they pulled the anchor up. See if we got... They pulled the anchor up, and they rowed 800 feet back to shore and retrieve the tackle box, and then they go back out onto the lake. And the chain of events that followed ended in... Okay. So I don't know if I have anybody listening, so we may have to start this over again. And we've got some people that are coming on. Let's see here. Waiting. I'm waiting because I think I'm just talking to my friends Kim and Sarah. I don't know if anybody else followed me over to the new. We'll see what we got going on here. So let's see here. Kind of a bumpy first day back to my show. But you know what? It's a good learning lesson. Let me see here. Anyway, all right. So there was a chain of events that ended in the death of Homer and his son, Robert. All right, now we're on. So let me rehash a few things here. So this is the mysterious death of Sergeant Homer Harrison from 1933. He served in France as a U.S. Army cannoneer during World War I. And then when he got out of the military, he joined the troopers in 1921. And yay! I am heard. And then he eventually became the commander of the Cass Isle area station in Wyoming County. Now, Homer was, from what I can gather, he was a straight up officer. He didn't have any known enemies. Everybody liked him. But just because they were out in Wyoming County, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, Cass Isle, doesn't mean that there were not dangers out there. You had at the time the Great Depression. You had the finishing of Prohibition. Organized crime was running rampant all over the United States. So you weren't sure what he was dealing with on a daily basis. And from what I'm going to tell you, as this is the last mysterious stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight, I believe it was an inside job. So we get started this, what happened on this fateful day, June 19th, 1933. Late in the afternoon, Sergeant Harrison took his two sons, Roger and Robert, and a fellow state trooper, H.W. Beach, fishing in a small rowboat on Silver Lake. And they rented the boat from Freehoff Boat Livery on the lake. And about 800 feet from the shore, they let the anchor out. And when they were ready to put their lines in the water, they discovered that they didn't have their tackle box. They had left it on shore. So they pulled the anchor up, and they rowed back to retrieve it. And this time they made sure that everything that they needed was in the boat before they went back out on the lake. And it's these chain of events that will show, will lead to the death of Homer and his son Robert. But are these facts accurate and true? When they get back out on the water, they were a little farther than the 800 feet. So when the anchor dropped, they said that it didn't hit the bottom of the lake. Officer Beach said that it didn't hit the lake floor. So when they dropped the anchor was too heavy for the boat. And when the rope tightened, when it reached the end of the rope, the anchor wanted to keep falling to the lake floor, and it caused the boat to capsize. If you understand what I'm saying, is the weight of the anchor was too great for the boat that they were in, and the momentum of the anchor falling to the lake floor caused the boat to capsize, and the four occupants in the boat went into the water. Now, Harrison Beach and Roger could swim, but Robert couldn't, and I'm thinking maybe this is my internet connection. I'm not sure. We're just going to tough it out And hopefully we don't miss too much in the interpretation, and then, you know, I'm going to have to do some troubleshooting. But we're going to keep on going. And Beach helped Roger, which Roger could swim, so I'm not quite sure why he needed to help Roger. And Homer Harrison worked to save his son. Now, Beach and Roger made it back to the overturned boat, and they held on to the boat until people could come and help. And that left Homer and Robert to struggle while he's trying to save him, and they slipped under the surface. Now, this is where it gets a little weird for me, is if Roger could swim, okay, Beach helped Roger get to the boat. Why didn't Beach go and help Homer and Robert, who were definitely struggling, before they fell beneath the surface? Now, it says that there were boats in the area that came to help, and they began to drag the lake. And about an hour after the incident, the body of Robert was found, and an hour later, the body of Homer was found. And it showed that his watch had stopped at 6:10, which was the time that they went to the water. Now, according to the son, Roger, there were two anchors on the boat, and Homer dropped one, and Roger tried to drop the other, when, according to the authorities, Roger said that something slipped and tipped the boat over, and everyone was dumped into the water. Now, after Homer and Robert Harrison were recovered, after their bodies were recovered, they were sent to the coroner's office for an examination. And the official ruling of the cause of death was a drowning. And they thought that it would be cut and dry. And I looked into the information on both of these autopsies. Now, Robert's lungs were filled with water, which was a classic indication that he had drowned. There's no doubt in my mind that Robert drowned. But Homer, on the other hand, did not have any water at all in his lungs. And there's never been a drowning case that I can, and I've asked a bunch of people what they thought of it when I say drowning and no water in the lungs. He didn't drown. He was dead before he hit the water. I asked a couple officer friends what they thought, and they said he was definitely dead before he hit the water. And he also had an injury on his forehead from striking on the side of the boat, but they determined that that was not severe enough to have killed him. And his death certificate definitely notes that he drowned. So my conclusion is, Officer Harrison his demise was very mysterious. There was no way that he, a strong swimmer, drowned helping his son. His son was quite small, so it wasn't like he was trying to save a grown man and struggling in the water with him. So I don't believe that his son dragged him under the water and he drowned. I don't believe he drowned at all, because there was no water in his lungs. That's how you drown, is your lungs fill up with water and you can no longer breathe and take in oxygen. What I think is, he was dead before he hit the water. I think that, and there's two theories that people have told me. One is, he knew something, or he was negating something that he shouldn't have been looking into, and someone got to him to keep him quiet. The other theory that people have thrown at me about this whole situation is that his partner, his friend that he took fishing with him and his children, was most likely having an affair with his wife. And this was a way to make sure that that affair could continue on and there would be no no interference from Homer Harrison. I don't like to throw that one out there too much. That's one that one didn't cross my mind. That came from other officers and stuff that I had talked to that could be possible if it was them investigating the case today would be one of the things that popped in their head. I'm leaning more towards the and the only reason why I say I don't want to use that one is because of his family, and I don't want to put that kind of accusation out there. But I'm leaning more towards he was investigating something that was very profitable for someone else. They didn't want it to be found out. I do believe that it involved the police officer that he brought with him, because who else was going to kill him in the boat? Perfect opportunity when him and his son are preoccupied with throwing the anchors over. Nobody's paying attention to what else is going on in the boat at that time. So it was murder by opportunity. I think that his back was turned to Beach, and Beach was paid off to get rid of him. And this was the perfect opportunity. But like I said, all indications point to he didn't die from drowning. He didn't have any water in his lungs. So these three stories, these three cases and murders, and I'm going to call them murders because there's no other explanation to them, are all local here, Western New York. Two of them are right from the Rochester area. And the more you think about it, the more you really wonder, you know, what would have happened if we had forensics and we had all the investigative tools that we have now, if we had them back then. I mean, would obviously Denny Perrin, we are not going to change the outcome. The deaths are not going, could not have been prevented. Jenny was poisoned. That's my 100% opinion, and that Bert got away with her murder. Forensics might have been able to catch the poisoning so that he would pay for the crime, but that's speculation. Officer Constable Dix definitely could not have shot himself in the back if he was bent over and his gun fell from his pocket. There's absolutely no way that you can physically shoot yourself in the back when your gun falls out of your pocket and it's going to fall in front of you. It's going to shoot you. It's going to shoot you in your stomach and come out your back, not go in your back and rest in the abdomen, your abdomen wall. And of course, Homer Harrison didn't drown because he didn't have an ounce of water in his lungs that would indicate that he was alive and breathing in water. He had to have been able to breathe the water in to get it in his lungs, and that wasn't happening. He was already dead. So take my information, take my opinion for what it is. Hopefully you guys kind of see where I'm coming from and gives you a little bit of, I wonder what happened. And definitely this was a very shaky first show back after a year and a half. But let me tell you something, next week all of these kinks are going to be worked out and we are going to be back better than ever with some more really cool stories, paranormal, local history, whatever decides to come into my mind on what I want to do next week. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, even with all of its flaws and stuff. And I want to thank you guys who stuck it out there with me for this entire time trying to figure out the sound. Great friends, great listeners. And I love y'all. And you guys have a great night. And I hope that everybody tunes in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. And talk about some more creepy, weird, and haunted history. And you guys have a great, great night.